Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
My name's Skipper Kelp. I've been in the fight game all my life. I started martial arts when I was a kid and stuck with the whole journey, started boxing. I became a professional boxer, and now I own the first mixed martial arts gym in the state of Nevada. And the fight game has been my journey, and I'll do it until the day I die. Good to meet all you guys. Good to see everyone here. Glad you guys participated.
Thank you for joining us. And guys, if you want to learn more, check out fightcapital.com. And ironically, Las Vegas, this is the fight capital of the world, and he is the fight capital coach here. Some of you might recognize him from the recent Netflix, the Canelo and Crawford fight. What was that like, being in, on such a massive, massive world stage?
Oh, it was intense. It was a great moment I'll remember for the rest of my life, but I'm looking to get more into the broadcasting world. And like I said, being a part of something where millions of people are watching was pretty exciting for me. I loved it.
So we already have some student questions messaged to me, and you guys here who are live, go ahead and keep messaging them directly to me in the chat. One of the kids wanted to know, what first drew you to martial arts and combat sports as a kid?
Well, I was born in Vietnam, and my father was a U.S. soldier, and my mother was Vietnamese. And back then, it was 1970, when you live in Vietnam, you don't play basketball or baseball, you do martial arts. So my dad brought me to my uncles who studied martial arts and just had me going through those motions. And when you're small and that's all you know, you kind of morph into that lifestyle. So when we moved to the United States, first thing my father did was got me into martial arts studios. And that was kind of the beginning of my martial arts journey.
That's amazing. And so early on, you were a black belt in both Taekwondo and karate. That was before mixed martial arts was kind of like a thing. This is even pre Art Davey, UFC kind of days.
Right.
What was there any type of where you were almost kind of, there was an eyebrow raise as far as from one discipline to the other? Why would you learn the other? Or was it welcomed in both disciplines?
Yeah, I was a karate kid coming up, and that was my dream to be a martial artist. But at the time, they didn't have the UFC, so there was nowhere to take my talent to the next level. And to be a martial artist, to be a good martial artist, you had to learn how to box. So I started boxing, and I was at the time I was 11 years old when I started boxing. And one thing about boxing, I could participate and compete with kids my age. When I wanted to do full contact karate, I was too young. They wouldn't let me do it. So I kind of transitioned from martial arts to boxing. You know, maybe I could have been like a movie star, B-level karate actor, but that wasn't my path. That wasn't my calling. I wanted to compete. If the UFC had been around, I'd probably been a UFC fighter. It wasn't. And now the UFC came around and my fighting days are over.
A bunch of kids questioning about your transition from martial arts into boxing. Was that an easy transition, or was that kind of like a seamless with that kind of stand-up striking game?
It was complicated. It was difficult because I was a karate kid. I was a high-level black belt, and, you know, I was the elite in my game, in my field, and in my age bracket. And when I went to the boxing gym for the first time, they had me spar, and I got my butt kicked because I didn't know how to. Boxing was a whole different animal. I came in there thinking I could kick, and I had to keep my feet on the ground, and my peers beat me up probably 2 months straight. I hated going to the gym to spar because I knew a butt whooping was in store for me. I just stuck it out, and before you know it, the butt whoopings came fewer in between, and then I started kicking some butt, and then I started liking it. But there were some tough moments for sure. The transition, like you do, if you do anything, you switch and want to excel in everything, there's going to be a moment where it's difficult and you just have to push through that. And them butt whoopings gave me some moments to think about, do I really want to do this? And then I just kind of looked deep down at myself and said, yeah, I got to get through this and learn it. And, you know, once you get through that hard part, it's always difficult to some degree, but once you get over that hump, it gives you the confidence to continue. So that's what happened to me.
That's great. And there can't always be green lights in life. There's yellows and reds. You got to persevere through that. And that's one thing we try and teach all these kids around the world. I got a question from Hugo in Spain. Hugo, you can unmute. You had a very good question for Coach.
Hi. My question is, do you think karate or taekwondo have any influence in boxing? For example, if it's an advantage to know them before doing any kind of sport like boxing.
I'm sorry, Hugo, say that part again.
He wanted to know if you know taekwondo or karate, is it going to give you an advantage in regular orthodox boxing?
Okay, that's a good question, Hugo. I would say, for me, it did, because one thing about the martial arts, it gives you discipline. And anything that teaches you discipline, it structures you and makes it easier for you to learn. So, and I'll say, when I did the martial arts, when I got into boxing, one thing I did have over kids that just started boxing, one was a discipline, and two, I had an inherent strength that some of them lacked, because some of the exercises I did in martial arts was full body and it was a lot more intense in that respect. So yeah, I say definitely it helped.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot, like, you've seen it grow quite a bit in your life. Like you said that you haven't had the opportunity to participate in MMA because the timing wasn't right, but you've seen it kind of change throughout the years. Was that like a fast change, like from the like 80s, 90s, and then the 2000s? I mean, because when we mentioned earlier about the Ultimate Fighter and Spike and all that, how it just kind of took off into mainstream, and that it, you know, it was MMA at least was talked about in circles as far as the idea of it being on ESPN was like a revolutionary, crazy idea back in the day, and now it's the norm. Like, how have you seen it evolve as a master in this field?
Well, it's martial arts, mixed martial arts evolved tremendously because the sport got so big. And when the sports get bigger, now you have young kids, your guys' age, getting into the combat sports or MMA. What it used to be, and I'm sure if you guys look back at the old videos of the UFC, it used to be a wrestler versus a boxer or a jiu-jitsu guy versus a taekwondo guy, a Muay Thai guy. So there were fragmented arts. And what's happened throughout the years, to become good at martial arts, you had to mix it and combine it all. So now these kids that train aren't just taekwondo kids learning how to box and wrestle. They're actually mixed martial artists from day one. So learning it that early, when you put all the arts together, has refined the game so much. The next generation of fighters will completely blow your mind what they're capable of doing now, as the fighters today are compared to the ones 20 years ago. So the evolution of every sport just elevates significantly. And martial arts is a microcosm of that, just because it was a combination of all styles combining as one now. It's no longer a boxer and a wrestler. It's a mixed martial artist. And it's the idea of putting all the arts together. Kind of like Bruce Lee said, if you guys are a little young, but Bruce Lee kind of lives on forever. Bruce Lee kind of said, take the best of every style and put it together to form your own. And that's what mixed martial arts has done.
And that's certainly what he did with Jeet Kune Do. And there's that kind of like mindset. Would you say there's like kind of an extra added mixed martial art as far as being good and charismatic on the microphone? Because you had the experience of like Tuesday Night Fights, where you were on TV, you were televised, you were, you know, on the big time. And that's got to be real nerve wracking, you know, on for a boxer who works out alone in a gym or not with a lot of people, and all of a sudden you're surrounded. Like, what was there with Canelo? It was like 70,000. Like, that's insane to me to be around. How do you work into that?
What's funny is in the Canelo fight, when I did the broadcast for that, there was a moment when the broadcast began and I realized there's going to be over 40 million people watching this. And it got me a little bit. I got nerves and I had to take use my martial arts training, my boxing training here. I took a deep breath. And I literally told myself, I used to get punched in the face for a living. I can do this. I can talk right now. Nothing's going to happen when I talk. I'll get over it. And that got me through this process. And then I actually enjoyed being under the fire like that, knowing that no one's going to punch me in the face. It's not that hard.
I like that Mike Tyson quote. Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah, changed everything.
Miguel in Europe, you guys have a question. Go ahead and ask.
Yes, my question is that, do you enjoy your life as a professional art martial?
A professional martial artist?
Yeah, that's what he's asking.
Yeah, hey, Miguel. Yes, I love it. I'm telling you, I wake up every morning, I don't feel like I work. My life is, I've been able, and I hope you guys will eventually in the future, find something that you really have interest in, and harvest it and become great at it and find a way to make a living doing it. If you're able to do that, to bring value to the world it's something that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So yes, I enjoy everything I do, and I'm so grateful for this life path that I chose.
That's awesome. And you're influencing people all over the world. I love it. We have Jia Jing. I can only guess you're in China because this is a Chinese question. You asked me to ask this. He wants to know, what do you think about traditional Chinese martial arts, and do you believe that they are useful today in MMA?
Hey, Gia. Yeah, I do. I believe that all the arts have some value in it. And as I was talking about earlier, you kind of take the best of every style and put it together. One style is proven not to be totally effective. The more elements you can add into your game, the better you'll be. Now, do you follow the UFC? Do you know who Weili Zhang is?
Yeah, that yes, the she isn't it the female fighter?
Yeah, she's
Yes.
actually fighting for the, she's defending her title. It's going to be a great fight. It's at the end of this month. And it's funny because as I was driving to the gym this morning, I saw her and her team jogging down, getting in shape, preparing for their fight. So pretty interesting. That's one benefit of living in Vegas. If you're a fight fan, you'll see fighters everywhere.
Yeah, they do the road work. The other day,
Yeah.
my son and I saw a Khalil Roundtree.
Oh,
Just like leave,
yeah.
like, I was like, hey, wait a minute. So and my son, he grows up in Vegas, so they think it's normal running into NFL players and
Yeah.
it's like it's not a normal thing. Okay, Christopher, you had a really good question, my friend. Go ahead and ask your question for coach.
Hello. My question is this. Were you a fighter that attacks or someone that waits?
That adapts or waits?
He wants to know if you were an offensive fighter or a defensive fighter.
I like to be a counterpuncher, but when I got into the midst of it in my career, I was more of an attacker. I think to be an overall great fighter, you have to be able to use both techniques, right? Because there's going to be a moment where someone attacks you that's stronger than you, more physical than you, and you have to, find another strategy. And that's when you have to be the counterpuncher and the elusive fighter. So, the top dogs, the really, really good guys, can adapt to any style.
We have a question from France. This is Triomphe. Triomphe, go ahead and ask your question, buddy.
Yes, hello, coach. I would like to know if you think there is any age considered too late for martial arts.
That's a good question. And my answer is absolutely not. Martial arts is a journey and it's something you can do for the rest of your life. And the beauty of martial arts, you don't have to compete and be an active fighter, but to learn the discipline, the exercise, it's one way to create longevity in your life and healthy longevity. So as you get older and you continue to practice the martial arts, it's one thing to get old and exist. It's another thing to be old and thrive and have a productive life. And I think martial arts contributes to that significantly. So it's never too late.
Well said. Did you practice these answers?
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, a
Yeah.
couple more student questions. I know you guys got them still coming, but we have them for a few more minutes. So, coach, one of the kids from Italy messaged me, and they wanted to know, where does the issue or subject of faith come into play when it comes to fighters? Because they are risking their lives when they go in there, such like any sport, but in traditional boxing is much more dangerous than MMA, statistically speaking. Where does the issue of faith come into play with a lot of with your fight journey, or maybe with other fighters' journeys that you've witnessed in your lifetime?
Well, I think with one thing about fighting, there's inherent danger there, right? It's not like playing golf. You don't see a whole bunch of golfers, thank God, after their competition. It just doesn't happen. But you see a lot of fighters, bow down to their higher power because when you step in the ring or the cage, the octagon, whatever it is, there is an inherent risk that you could be injured. And when that looms over you, it's comforting knowing that there's a higher power, believing there's a higher power to kind of guide you through those moments of, uncertainty. So, yeah, a lot of fighters will cling to their faith to get them through the rough times because there always will be rough times.
Great. That's great. And I'd be remiss if we didn't mention about your online programs that you are having come out. Can you tell the kids a little bit about that, those programs, and where they can access them?
Yeah, so check this out, guys. I have it's called the Fight Capital Community, and there's a lot of kids from my gym who participate in this, and it's a paid community. I make adults pay to be a part of this community, but I've decided to make it free for youth, you guys. So it's, and when you get into the community, it's just a community where we interact like our own little Facebook, I guess you could call it. But in the community, I got a whole instructional videos. It's boxing fundamentals. So if you guys want to be a part of this, if you can give Mr. Kraus your emails, and I can send you guys the link, the free link to be a part of this community, so you can see the instructional videos and actually understand and learn the fundamentals of boxing. And I can guide you guys through this journey, and with this and with practice, and you guys can actually become very capable boxers. And I'm happy to offer that to you guys, because you being on this call right now is showing me interest, showing me that you have interest in this, and I want to give back to you guys and kind of reciprocate and give you access to this Fight Capital community. It's a new community, and I want it to grow, and I want to inspire guys like you and girls like you, and teach you how to box in the process, and take your input and post some of your victories and inspiration. So if it's something you're interested in, get your emails to Mr. Kraus, and let's be a part of the Fight Capital community. I'd love to have you guys, especially it's exciting to me that you guys are all across the world. So to expand the community worldwide is exciting for me as well. So
We would be honored to help with that. And guys, I put my email in the chat. Go ahead and just send me a message, and I'll take care of the rest. Can we go with two more questions and let you go? Is that okay, Coach?
absolutely.
Okay. So I have a question from Hugo again. He wanted to know, he's a karate practitioner, and he wants to know if karate is use in pure combat and self-defense, or is it more of kind of like pageantry?
I think if you do it, there's pageantry involved in it, but so many of the techniques are viable. You look at, I don't know if you know who this is, but Lyoto Machida was a world champion out of Brazil, and his mainstay before jiu-jitsu, before boxing, was karate, traditional karate. And he ran through the division and was one of the better fighters of history. So I think, like I said, you take a little bit of everything and combine it and make the best style. So every martial arts discipline has benefits to it. I don't think any one discipline solves all the problems. That's why, to be a true mixed martial artist, you need to dabble in a little bit of everything until you find the formula and the style that works best for you.
Well said. Inigo in Europe, go ahead and ask your question. You had a very good question, buddy.
What is the best martial art to defend ourselves?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
What is the best martial art, in your opinion, to defend yourself for self-defense?
With the advent, if I could pick one, just and this doesn't answer the question, because if you started with one, I would say every parent should get their kids in jiu-jitsu at a very early age and have that as your base, because jiu-jitsu really focuses on technique and leverage, not strength and power. And I think that's a very, very good base to get started with.
Where do you see the sports entertainment? Because it's really meshed, the entertainment has meshed with sports, with the inclusion of ESPN, Netflix, and all this kind of stuff, creating combat related content. Where do you see the future of it going as someone who's been ringside for decades here in the Fight Capital? Where do you see the next evolutionary step?
I just think that one thing about combat sports, one thing about fighting, is it transcends worldwide. Most kids overseas that don't live in America don't know what football is, American style football. It's just confusing. A lot of kids in America don't really jive with cricket or soccer. But everybody, I don't care where you're at, knows a fight. And if a fight breaks out, you'll generally have an idea who wins and who loses. And everyone can understand how to achieve the common goal in a fight. And that's why I think combat sports will transcend and eventually be the biggest sport on the planet. Dana White's been saying that since day one when they purchased the UFC, that fighting is in our DNA. We get it, we understand it, and we love it. And so one thing about that, I in my teachings and in my gym, I don't want it to get lost that combat sports is still a discipline. It's an art that has integrity and respect to it and honor. So as long as the art doesn't get convoluted into being just a barbaric, fight, and people understand there's discipline and principles behind it, I think it will absolutely be the most transcendent popular sport in the world.
That's great. That's great. And it's clear you have a love for it. And, you know, thank you for what you did with UNLV boxing in Las Vegas. That's where I met you. Seeing that grow was just incredible and amazing. And how did that kind of come about?
Well, after I retired from boxing, you know, you spend your whole life boxing. You don't go and get into the workforce. After I retired from boxing, you know, I still had to feed my family. So I said, what do I need to do now? And I figured I've been in the sport for so long, I want to transcend it and start passing down and teaching. So I started the UNLV boxing program, and that's how I transitioned into owning a gym and getting into the sport from a different angle.
That's great. Okay, so our final question.
Yeah.
And guys, again, check out fightcapital.com. Our final question that I asked this of all of our guests, what advice, Coach Skipper Kelp, would you have for these kids as they go off into the world and figure out what kind of paths they want to lead, whether it's in combat sports or something completely different?
Yeah, whatever it is you decide to do, do the absolute best you can and be well-rounded. I suggest read something every day. Do something physical every day for your own personal self. Work on your health and your fitness. And when you decide what it is that you love, find a way to be the best at it. And you'll never work a day in your life.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. So before I end the meeting for all, traditionally I allow everyone to unmute. And can we all say thank you to Coach Skipper Kelp for taking time out of his day to talk to us today? Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Hold on. I'm at the gym right now. I work out every day at the UFC gym. And I'm just going to see here, show you where I work out. And I'm going to have someone say hi to you real fast if he's here. Hey, Dana, real quick, this is a Zoom call with 60 kids worldwide, and I just wanted them to say, they're all over the place.
You guys say hi to Mr. White? You guys say hi?
Hi.
What's up, guys? How are you?
How are you doing, man? Dana, thank you for connecting. You spoke to my fifth grade class about 15 years ago, and at Marion Earl right near UFC right now. And now I do this for kids all over the world. I host it online from Las Vegas, and it's become a podcast. It's like a career day every day where they meet different people. And so some of those kids you spoke to, one of them ended up becoming a lawyer because you advised them to be a lawyer. So
let me turn the music down in here. That's incredible. Where is he practicing law?
Here in Las Vegas. I can get you his information, but you had told the kids, because you were talking about the importance of reading, you said, don't go into the fight game, go be a lawyer. And the kid was in fifth grade and now he's an adult. So, you know,
that's life, incredible. Man. Well, I'll tell this whole crew on this one, go into finance.
Boom.
Finance rules the world, kids. It might be boring and not as exciting, but it rules the world. And someday you can get to the level where it will be fun and exciting.
Oh, man, we can't thank you guys enough for all that you do for the Las Vegas community. And thank you, Skip, for inspiring and educating so many kids around the world. And you guys are amazing, man. Thank you.
Pleasure. Nice to meet you guys.
You guys want to say goodbye? Say thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Dana, if you ever want to connect with us, let me know. Let me know, because I'll reach out to your people.
That would be awesome. Definitely do that.
Appreciate you.
All right,
Skip.
Thank you.
Thank you. We know you got things to do, brother. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys.
God
Bye,
bless.
Kids.
All right. Bye.